This is Dave Glowatz. On the phone with me is Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you, Dave.
Today we're talking about your column titled Independent or What? That appears in the Reader on January 7th, 2010. This article describes the endorsements or an endorsement of a Democratic candidate for state representative in the 11th District on the north side. And this has to do with the primary election that takes place February 2nd. And the endorsement that we're talking about is from an organization called the Independent Voters of Illinois, Independent Precinct Organization, known as IVI, IPO. And full disclosure, I am a longtime member of IVI, IPO.
Further full disclosure, I met you at an IVI, IPO function approximately 3 years ago.
Well, we've been doing this for, a little over 2 years. So, it's about 3 years ago.
So, full disclosure, we met at a function sponsored by IVI, IPO.
So, maybe we should both recuse ourselves from this interview.
That's true. Okay. Further full disclosure, I often take IVI, IPO endorsement literature into the polling booth with me.
Well, that leads to my first question, because I'm guessing that many of our listeners have never heard of IVI. And I'm wondering, how do you think IVI reaches out to voters to advertise the candidates that it endorses in elections?
Well, IVI, IPO, as you know, has been around for many, many years. And essentially, they represent, in terms of Chicago politics, the reform wing of the Democratic Party. I mean, when all is said and done, although they're not all Democrats, some of them are third-party candidates and hard, and some are Republicans, and some truly are independents who vote from one party to the other, depending on the election. But by and large, they're the independents. They're not affiliated with any elected official. Basically, they take it issue by issue, and which candidate, in their humble opinion, best exemplifies a reform progressive model on all sorts of issues. How they get their message out, in the past what they've done is they bought ads in many newspapers, full disclosure, including the Reader. In those ads, they list the candidates they endorse. And speaking for myself, I'm influenced by it.
Getting back to IVI for a second, in your article you said that in a tight election, IVI's endorsement can tilt the scales in favor of an endorsed candidate. What evidence do you have for that?
In this particular election, where you have a vacancy, people will look at the IVI endorsement, oh, Farley's okay, it's a long string of endorsements, I'll go with Farley, or, he can't be a bad guy. In terms of specific evidence where the IVI endorsement has actually pushed one candidate in over another, I have absolutely none. It's a helpful tool to have. And in a tight election, you need everything you can. And that's why Gene Shelter wanted the blessing for Farley. That's why Farley wanted that blessing for himself. Yeah, what difference does it make? I mean, ultimately, I think about it while you're asking me. I go, it probably doesn't matter at all. And yet it does matter, because if it didn't matter at all, Dave, Shelter wouldn't engineered it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if it's not worth as well.
Like, for instance, Joe Moore's race, when he ran, it was a tight race. It went into a runoff in the last aldermanic go-around. I think Joe Moore getting that IVI endorsement helped, I mean, every endorsement helps, Like a Tribune endorsement. How much does that help?
It can't hurt.
It can't hurt, right.
And it can hurt if your opponent gets endorsed.
Yes. It probably hurts the other two guys as much, if not more, than it helps Farley. Because the other two guys are trying to establish their credentials to the voters,
Yeah. Earlier you mentioned the Bar Association recommendations. I've spoken with people who work for some of the bar associations, and they express frustration that whenever there's a judge election, then the bar associations make recommendations, rather extensive, lengthy recommendations after sometimes interviews with the candidates. They're frustrated that their published recommendations don't seem to have any correlation with the judges who end up getting elected. Is that fundamentally any different from the kind of endorsements we're talking about here with IVI?
Your point's very well taken, that the IVI and all these good government groups don't have the power to carry an election. I do believe that. But again, in a tight election, they have an influence. They'll persuade some voters. In the case of the Farley race, it's going to be that much harder for the two other candidates to claim the mantle of reform and independence. And those two candidates are Ann Williams and Ed Mullen. If the IVI endorsement has gone to Farley.
Based on your description of what happened in the endorsement sessions, it looks to me like Farley's supporters packed the first endorsement session. Then after the endorsement came out, Farley made some apparently false statements about his participation with IVI and who endorsed him. And so IVI had a second endorsement session. And that one was again packed, apparently, with his supporters. If you were running these sessions, how would you do anything differently, or would you?
Nothing. And as I point out in the article, give Schulter credit. He played by the rules. He didn't break any rules. He played by the rules. He outmaneuvered his opponents to get the endorsement. This is a larger issue that IDI has to come to terms with on their own. It's not unlike the Green Party, for that matter. They are vulnerable to be taken over by the Democratic Party. They're dedicated to the notion, and it's a great fundamental notion, of participatory democracy. Anybody who wants to join their group pretty much can. All you have to do is pay whatever, I think it's $35 a year membership.
How has the Green Party had the same issues?
The Green Party is, in fact, probably even more vulnerable. If the Democratic Party wanted to, they could run Democrats as Greens in the Green Party primary and get enough people to vote for those Democrats to essentially take over the Green Party and therefore render it useless. So, for instance, in the Cook County president race, Tom Tresser is running as the Green Party candidate unopposed. If the Democrats wanted to, they could put up some flunky from their organization to run against Tresser.
And you mean unopposed in the primary?
And yeah, in the Green Party primary itself, and defeat him. And then you'll have a Democrat running as a Green, and of course he'll just lay down and not run any campaign. So,
of course, in this particular primary, it's too late for them to do that.
Yeah, I've had this conversation many times with many different people, and the general consensus is not worth their while. You know, like, who cares who the IDI endorses in most races, or who cares who the Greens put up? They're not going to win anyway. Furthermore, in many cases, in the case of the Greens, you know, an election challenge will maybe knock them off the ballot anyway, you know, by challenging their petitions. But like I said, in this particular case, it has some significance because it's an open seat, and each person is going to be trying to claim the mantle of reform. And so what I was pointing out is how the process works so that actually the independent in the race is really a regular.
Interesting. Well, we'll leave it there. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, David.
This is Dave Gloetz. You've been listening to the rest of the story. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.